wearing one of my Jordan Con shirts. I think this is from...
I was wearing mine yesterday.
2 years ago? Not last year. Maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. That was the first one.
Yeah. Should
be... That wasn't the first one we went to. We went to three, didn't we?
Yeah, that's the first one.
2021, 2022, 2023.
The one you're wearing.
What's the second one?
Was it the Tuathacon? Or was that last year?
Purple one? I thought that was last year.
Yeah, that might have been last year.
Somebody help me. What was the Jordan Con shirt? Was there
a... I don't know.
Con of the World was 2 years ago. Tuathacon was last year. I'm wearing Con of Legends. What was Con of the World? What did Con of the World look like?
Mies? I don't know. I don't remember. I didn't get that shirt.
She'll post a pic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, maybe I don't have it either. Maybe that's why I don't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, well. What are we missing this year?
I don't know.
Are you wearing the purple one?
No, I'm wearing my local school district shirt. Okay. not that cool. Should we start the podcast?
So cool. I guess.
Yeah.
Welcome to Talk Around Riyadh, the Wheel of Time showcast. I am your host, Joe Perry, here with my co-hosts, Jen Isgrow and Tom Koza. It is Jordan Con weekend and we are not there. Jen, how do you feel about that?
I'm a little bit sad. There's a lot of fun happening in Atlanta.
I don't think there's any fun happening without us.
Okay. There's no fun happening. You're right. Oh, I do have that shirt, Amish. You're right. No, but our friends are there. We couldn't make it this year, so it's a little bit sad. But we're gonna make it. It's gonna be okay. We're going to have fun tonight.
Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Yep.
I was hoping someone would pick up after that, but y'all left me hanging.
Everybody have fun tonight.
Everybody have fun tonight. Okay. Anyway, Tom, how you doing here in New York, not in Atlanta?
I'm okay, I guess. I'm really bummed about it. I've gotten more bummed, I guess, as we've gotten closer. I felt like this entire week prior to the con weekend, like I was at work and I'm like, something doesn't feel right. I'm like, I've already trained my soul, I guess, to be getting ready to go to Atlanta at this time of year. And so it looks like it's a great time, and we'll talk about some of the stuff that we've seen happening so far. I think later on. Yeah.
So we're gonna talk a little bit about some news we have, some stuff that was going on at JordanCon, at least that we were able to ascertain from live streams and chatter on the interwebs.
Mm.
But before we get into that, Jen, I think you have something going on, right? Is something happening?
Some stuff is happening. So just a couple of things. The first one is a couple of days ago, Vogue posted an article about Rosamund.
Ooh.
That basically is titled "Rosamund Pike Takes Over New York City Dressed in Dior." So it's basically about how she has been traveling around New York City in all different amazing outfits and visiting parties and things like that. She didn't visit any of us, so I'm a little bit insulted.
No.
Nor did she invite us to any of these parties when we were right here. I don't really get it.
I don't know.
But there was a mention of Wheel of Time, which I feel like is exciting because a lot of times there's no mention of Wheel of Time. So she does say, "I have just completed an epic season 3 of the Wheel of Time. I have been so excited by the work we created this season. We have just returned from a very exciting and demanding location shoot, which will really deliver for fans of the show."
Wow.
Doesn't say fans of the book. It's fans of the show, which is fine because we're also fans of the show. I would have liked her to have said book and show, but it's okay. She's beautiful, and if you're still here and you're listening to our show, which I know you are, give us a ring.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the area.
So I think that during this time, if I remember right, she was at the Garden watching a Knicks game.
She was. Well, I think I mentioned that last week. Right?
Yeah. And I was a little annoyed. We're right across, Joe and I, right across the street.
We are
literally right
across
the street from the Garden.
It's fun when you watch the Knicks game and they show you the outside shot of the Garden, Madison Square Garden. They're shooting that from the corner, right where our building, like from in front of our building. Because I'm like, I was like, that's exactly what I look at every time I come out of my office.
Yeah.
Oh well.
So Rosamund, you were that close to us, and you missed your chance. That's all I'm gonna say.
I touched it.
maybe you guys like walked by her on the street and didn't even know. Like she was right here.
Probably.
It was like Sliding Doors. Know that movie?
Is that a Gwyneth Paltrow movie?
It is. Okay. It is. Your whole life could have been different had only you brushed shoulders and been like, excuse me. Your whole life could have been different. But it wasn't. Oh, well.
An unfortunate series of events.
That's fine. So we do have a hashtag hen news this week. I think that some people are hearing chickens. I'm not.
I hear like the remnants of a bawk. Yeah.
Which is brief remnants of a bawk. It's like a novel story. Like a title of a novel, I mean. So Juliet writes, the Watt Shook trio posing beautifully today. Avi and Nevi brilliantly coordinated on the top step and Perryhen on the bottom step. This will always be a special photo. In the last week, Avi has grown some hilarious mutton chop feathers and is chuffed to bits that she was part of a discussion which included talk of musical icon Elton John at Talk Around Riyadh. I actually do not remember what she's talking about.
The whole Circle of Life. The Frog.
Oh, but the Lion King. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, now I remember. Oh, my God. Anyway, but as to the Circle of Life, she mentioned it. I still didn't get it. As to the Circle of Life, Nevi had a trip to the vet today. My adorable little girl has a tumor that is getting bigger. There's nothing that could be done except keep the pain at bay and give her lots of love and whatever she wants to eat. Luckily, unlike her sister, she doesn't eat frogs, and make the most of our time with her, however long that may be. So, not really great news for Nevi.
No.
But maybe she'll hang on a little bit longer. It's so sad. I feel like we've been on the air, you know, we've been podcasting so long, and the hens only, like, we're seeing so many hens come and go, because they don't really live that long. But hopefully Nevi will have a happy remainder of her life. Hopefully it'll be longer than they expect.
Yeah, very peaceful hopefully for her. Yeah. She'll be going with Egwene though, and all of the other hens.
Willow,
Maple, all those hens. So
yeah, so the hen place in the sky where the hens know. Go. The
well,
big
it's,
barn
it's
in
the wheel
sky.
Of it's oh. the wheel.
The big hen house.
It's the wheel
big
of hens.
Hen house in the sky.
So they'll come back. When they're reborn again.
They will be reborn.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they're, what would you say? What was it? Heroes of the Hens, right? Was that it? Didn't we do a whole joke about Hens of the Horn? Sorry, Hens of the Horn.
Hens of the Horn.
Yeah, Hens of the Horn. When the horn's blown again, the hens will return. Okay. We'll get to see them all again.
That'll be nice.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's all I have for tonight. Back to you, Joe.
Yeah, we've got some news to talk about, and this is from Watt Series. No, we're not going to talk about Jordan Con news. We'll get to that in a minute. But this is an article from Watt Series. They have identified three new cast members that should appear in Season 3 of The Wheel of Time, and they are Nukaka Coster-Waldo. That's very difficult to say. Bjorn Landberg.
That one's easier.
Sinove McCody Lund. They don't know who these actors are playing yet, of course. But I believe in the article they mentioned that they believe that they did participate in filming for Season 3 in South Africa. So Sinove is about 6 foot tall. So potential Aiel. Any thoughts on that?
Sinove feels like she could be an Amis. To me.
Oh, wow. She looks young. I don't know how old she is.
But Amis is supposed to be young with, like, white hair.
Well, she's not
old. Sinove is older
than us.
Oh,
you mean Amis is young or this actress is young?
No, the actress is young.
She's close to 50.
So she's probably actually older than Amis should be, but I think, I don't know, I got Amis immediately from her.
This woman is 50 years old.
Yeah.
Not yet. She's 48, but you know.
Oh, okay. God bless. She does not look that old. She's a Norwegian actor and director.
I think they're all, are they all Scandinavian?
I think so, yeah. I mean, the guy's name is Bjorn Landberg.
Yeah.
Sounds like a nice Irish lad.
So, also Bjorn.
They all have an extra like mark in their name somewhere.
He is
an accent mark, yeah.
Well, no, they're all different. Well, Bjorn has the line through the O.
Oh, no, Bjorn's a German actor.
Or Sinove has the line through the O, and Bjorn has the umlaut. Is that what it's called? The two
it's
dots?
It's called an umlaut, yeah.
And Nukaka has the I guess it's just an accent over the A.
Well, Bjorn is actually German.
Okay.
He's a singer, too, also.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. So he does have a musical inclination.
Every time somebody's a singer, they're Asmodean.
Well, remember the other guy who was a singer? He got something bad happened to him, I think, or he did something bad. And I don't. Who was the other guy that was Watt series had?
He's not on the show.
He is on the show.
Well, I don't know if he's going to be on. He might not have made it. I don't know. Oh, yeah. You know what?
He's on the show. This all happened after.
Who is he on the show?
I don't remember.
We don't know who he is, but he's also
in he's in season three. Okay. All right. I know. I think I know.
He had a musical. He was like a musician as well, and we all thought he could potentially be Asmodean, but he did something bad, I think.
I mean, a lot of actors
accused of doing something or whatever. Yes. Like, let's be careful about how we're throwing things around. So
a lot of actors. Well, he did do. I'm sure. Singers.
I'm sure he did do something bad. So,
well.
Whether
unless we're Jesus, you know.
I didn't accuse him of something specific, so I think I'm in the clear. We're in the clear.
Jesus did something bad too, guys. He flipped over like tables in the marketplace that one time. So he's not perfect either.
He's not holy. He's not all you think he is.
Not like he's God or anything. Anyway, but
yeah. So I mean, he is a handsome man. He's got these really bushy black eyebrows and then like a silvery black hair. I don't know why I'm describing him like that. He is a silver fox. He's quite handsome. He could be Asmodean. He is kind of my headcanon for what Asmodean would look like. Although I thought maybe Asmodean was a little younger.
Like younger. Yeah, me too, just a little younger.
But make this guy's hair all black. And then
why? You don't like the silver hair?
No, I'm saying then he would appear more like my headcanon of
He's probably Asmodean. Not really that old. Do we know how old he is?
He started his career as Kevin Kraus. Before Bjorn Lundberg is like a fake name. His real name is
Landberg.
Landberg.
Bjorn.
His real name is Kevin Kraus. Oh, whoa.
He changed his name. He's to Engelbert Humperdinck?
Tom, he's our age. He's born in 1980.
Yeah,
I told you. Was
Nino Lopes the other guy, right? That you were thinking of, but
yes, Nuno Lopes.
Yeah. So when I first saw this guy, I'm gonna say I thought that this guy was Ruark.
Oh yeah, maybe, but he's only 44.
Okay, Ruark's not old. He's old enough to be Rand's dad. Which
yeah, he could be Ruark. I could see that happening. I mean, it's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah, I think he is tall.
I don't know.
He's 6'6".
Oh, he is.
Shit. Oh, no.
Oh.
That changes everything.
Everything's over. No Asmodean.
No.
You can't be 6'6" and play an instrument. I don't think that's possible.
No, you can't be 6'6"
and not be
an Aiel. I'm
the one who said he's Ruark. I understand.
No, he's definitely an Aiel.
Although I have to say, he really hasn't done much. He's only got 5 credits, and he's 44 years old.
Well, he's a musical artist, primarily.
Oh, you think most of his stuff is music, then?
I do.
Well, Valenluca. That's a good one, too.
This guy could be like Bale. He could just be maybe another Aiel clan chief. Maybe not Ruark.
Yeah, we're doing it again. You see?
Yeah, we're putting.
Who's the biggest character? Who's the most important character anybody could be? Amis, Rourke, and who's the last one? Here we go. Oh.
I think he's one of the clan chiefs. Maybe he's Bale, or maybe he's Cooladin's brother. Maybe he's Cooladin.
Muradin?
Maybe
he's Cooladin?
Yeah, maybe he's Cooladin for all we know.
He's too handsome to be Cooladin.
He is. Well,
even though everybody bad is handsome on this show, so it doesn't matter.
They'll just put him in like a red wig and then everyone will dislike him.
He also kind of looks like
the most interesting man in the
world. Ravine. He could be like a Ravine.
He kind of looks like
Ravine, also very tall.
Like handsome.
He kind of looks like Jay Peterman.
Yeah, he does. He's got that vibe.
Yeah, he's got that like he comes in and starts talking to you and you're like, oh, all right, whatever.
I'm
a queen. I'll do whatever you say.
Oh man, if someone can find him singing, I'd love to hear his voice. That's what we should have done.
Probably right on the internet.
I don't know what that is. So,
we have this thing.
So, are we all two Aiel now? That's what we're saying? We're saying Sanove is, you got Amis, Jen?
No, Jen's saying Ravine.
I don't know now. Yeah, I'm not sure.
All right, Jen's not sure.
Here, I found it, but I'm not going to be able to play it for you.
We don't even know if Ravine's going to be in the show. Like, he's never been mentioned.
Sorry, ad first. We're not sponsored by Domino's.
Wait, what are you doing? You found it?
Yeah.
Oh, I found it too. I was going to put my headphones up to the microphone.
Yeah.
Tom's got his phone.
Oh, his name is Bjarn Lantberg. That's how the guy's saying his name. Bjarn Lantberg. Oh my God. I'm sorry nobody can see what I'm watching. Can I share my screen?
Oh,
that's
English. Yeah. That sounds like a very Gleeman type song.
Yeah, it's a little Dracula-y, that voice, but, you know.
I'm going to put what I found in chat.
Perfect for a Forsaken, for sure. We got one more actor that we, so this is New Kaka Costa-Waldau. Yes, that last name sounds familiar. She is married to Nicolaj Costa-Waldau from...
Wait, I thought we started with her.
Yeah, but we didn't talk about who we think she's going to be.
Oh, I did.
Did you? Did I miss that?
I said Amis.
I thought the other one was going to be Amis.
You said Sanove was going to be Amis.
No, yeah. I didn't. Why would you start with Sanove when she's on the right?
Because I think he said she's very attractive, and that's why we started with her.
We started with... Yeah, you even said Sanove, Jen. You said the name Sanove.
I never said Sanove. Sanove feels like she could be an Amis to me.
That's who we were talking about. And we were like, that's why we were like, oh, Amis, she's really, you know, she looks really young. No, she's not that young. She's 50. That was all with her.
How old is Nukaka?
54, I think.
Sanove, all right, so she's close.
Sanove's 48, by the way.
All right, so then we have to start the whole show over because we were talking about, I think Nukaka is going to be Amis.
Okay.
All right. Well,
Sanove, I got to think about. I don't know about her.
Another Aiel, though?
She's tall also?
She's six foot, I think. She's going to be an Aiel.
Maybe another maiden?
Yeah, one of the, not Sulin. Like Sulin's supposed to be older, right?
Yeah, but you don't know what they're going
to
do, man.
But she's close to 50. No, but that is older.
I guess. Yeah, older than like 20-year-olds. I guess so. All right. Yeah, Sulin.
Yeah, like Bane and Chiat are supposed to be like in their early 20s, maybe.
20s, yeah.
Or maybe like...
All right.
Yeah, so...
I like her for Sulin.
Okay, you've got her for Sulin. Maybe she's Melindra.
Ooh.
Maybe.
Ooh, she would make a good Melindra, but since Matt's not going to the Ways probably, then right, you know there's going to be no Melindra.
Sorry, Melindra, but...
Unless Melindra gets cozy with Rand...
It's too much. It's too much.
Is it?
It is.
He just gets seduced by another dark friend while Lanfear's there in disguise.
Right.
And that's why Leandrin skins her alive. There's no Ascendra.
Lanfear, you mean?
Yeah, there's no Ascendra. This is Melindra.
There's no Hadan Kadir.
No, Kadir.
So Melindra with a D, with an R-E at the end instead of a...
Melindra.
D-H-R-A. Melindre.
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 Melindre. I don't know. Yeah, they combine Melindra and Ascendre.
No. That's already something.
Combine the two of them into one character.
Okay. Is she an Aiel, though?
Yes, she's an Aiel. Okay. But she's working with Kadir. She's a dark friend Aiel, just like she is in the book, but she's working with Kadir. Mm-hmm. And... Keeley, and she's sent to bed Rand, or try to bed Rand, just like Ascendra
Why
is.
Would...
But Matt's not there, so you're not going
to
have
But Lanfear doesn't... Lanfear sends Ascendra to bed Rand?
No.
Kadir does.
Kadir does, yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, it doesn't make any sense.
So...
I don't know. It's too complicated for me.
Not complicated. You're just combining the two characters.
Does she get shaved?
If you want, she can get shaved.
I don't want... I don't know.
I don't want...
Yes, I think in chat, someone's saying that Melindra is the one who's left a note for Kadir about the path being chosen or whatever. And I think that's right.
Yeah. All right. So that's my guess. Synnøve is Melindra / Isendra. And Jen, you're saying Nukaka is Amis. Tom, any thoughts on that?
I think that works for me. That was my initial guess. And I'm going to say that that Synnøve is Bear. Because I think you're probably only going to get wise ones as like characters of note this season.
Okay.
I think we've already met a majority of the maidens that we're going to meet and be as like prominent characters in season 3.
So,
but Bane and Chiad aren't even going to probably be in the waste.
I understand that. But
so we're going to have one maiden that we know.
Rand doesn't really talk to the maidens much in Shadow Rising. That's really more in the Fires of Heaven going forward. Like Sulin's there, but like he's doing stuff. He's just running around. He's not pissing them off yet until the next book.
Yeah, there's definitely not a lot of maidens, like named maidens or Rand interacting or even much of them interacting with maidens. I think some of the maidens kind of tease Avienda, right?
Yeah.
Right. So we don't know that they were all filming in South Africa around at the same time, right? Because don't we think they were filming other stuff in South Africa? So they, I mean, she could be somebody from the Tanchico storyline.
She could be the Panarch.
Panarch. She could be another black.
Or another Aes Sedai.
Another black sister or Aes Sedai. Yeah.
Shopkeeper.
An innkeeper.
A merchant.
A merchant.
A barber.
A merchant anything. Of ice peppers.
A barber of Savin.
She could be a Seanchan, maybe, if we get any Seanchan this season.
I don't think we will.
Seafolk? No.
I don't know, though. I don't know. Whatever.
I am going to say she's a black sister. That's what I'm going to guess. I don't know which one. Maybe Chesmal fucking Emery. I feel like we're getting Chesmal Emery in this show just because of that whole thing. Like, Riff has to put Chesmal Emery in here. So I'm picking her for Chesmal fucking Emery.
Okay.
Go for it.
All right.
All right.
You ready to move on a bit?
Sure.
All right. So Jordan Cons this weekend, everybody.
Oh.
Yeah. So we've been keeping an eye on some of the things going on there as best we can. And there was some live streams. There was a live stream of the opening ceremonies. And at the end of the opening ceremony, they played a video which had some of the cast members saying, you know, just kind of saying hi to the JordanCon and everyone at JordanCon. We saw Daniel Henney, Keira Coveney, Marcus Rutherford, and then I don't think there was anyone else because the video stream kind of went wonky and I couldn't see anything.
Zoe.
Oh, Zoe. I forgot Zoe. Yeah, sorry. Zoe Robbins. But that's all I think I saw, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like Amazon doesn't do a lot of aggressive advertising of the show. And it doesn't really, you know, the show's on lockdown a lot. It doesn't like allow information out or anything like that at all. So I think, I do think it's cool if they acknowledge like this is JordanCon. It's a big deal for the people who are fans of this, of this series.
Yeah. I'll credit Rafe with this. Every time that we get this stuff at JordanCon, I'm pretty sure Rafe is like, we have to do this. Like, Amazon probably doesn't care or doesn't really want to do it, but Rafe's like, no, we're doing this. We have to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it anyway.
Well, I was going to do it.
Yeah.
And it's done. You can tell me I shouldn't have done it.
Yeah. So thank you, Rafe, because we know that you're the one behind these videos. So, you know, there was nothing, they didn't reveal any new actors or characters or anything like that. There was no, Rafe wasn't even in the video. The only thing of note, at least that I took from this, is we got a shot of Keira Coveney, which we hadn't seen in that last little BTS of them talking to us. And she was in, let's say, I guess, it looks like she had to be on set from this, from the picture. It's an outdoor shot. There's some sand on the ground. And some flora and fauna in the background.
Flora and fauna.
Well, maybe not both of those. At least one of those. There's a wooden ladder that looks like it's I don't know what it's going up to. Some sort of wooden structure that I don't know. I can't. Anyone have any thought on what that is?
No.
But her outfit is
oh, maybe it's a stage for like a circus or something.
Oh, wow. Mm. It definitely looks like they're on a beach. Because that is sand on the ground. But anyway, Kira's outfit.
They caught her on vacation.
Yeah. Is that what you think? You think this is her, this is civilian clothing?
It is wildly patterned.
It does have, there's a lot of pattern going on there. There's about.
But why would everybody else be in costume and she's not in costume? Yeah. That's what's weird about it. But her hair is a completely different color.
Is it? Or is it just that, sun's like,
blaring down on
her? I don't know. It's very blonde.
It does look very blonde. It could be. There's definitely sun shining above her. It could be the sun. I don't think this is civilian clothing. I think she is in costume. I think this has to be something to do with the Tanchico story, maybe. And I think this is her, I don't know, are they trying to blend in Tanchico? And this is just the style of clothing that they wear?
It's possible. I think they do that in the series. Right?
Tarabonner garb. She is on the beach. And I don't know, maybe she's just tanning in Tanchico.
It's possible.
She's not going to get a good tan with long sleeves on like that.
That's true.
Yeah, well, that's like a jacket. She'd take that off. Maybe she's just going to, I mean, still, it's an odd tan line. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what this is.
I don't know what this is.
Looking at.
She does have like a cardigan on, so you're right about that.
Yeah.
Anything on that necklace she's wearing, too. I don't really, it's hard to tell if there's any kind of, that pendant that's on there, I don't really know. Jen, you mentioned that it could be a stage over there. So were you thinking this is circus? She's dressed up in her circus garb?
I don't know.
At Val and Lucas.
That's not what she's supposed to wear at the circus.
Come on, man.
She should be wearing like a tight outfit.
Maybe she's not performing. Maybe that card. Maybe she takes the cardigan off.
It does not look like a Wheel of Time outfit. Unless she's literally like, I hate to say this if it's her real clothes, but if she's like in hiding as like a poor person. Because everything's like mismatched. It's like, oh, I'll just throw this dress on and then this like sweater and wear a wig. You know, I don't know.
Sweater is not part of her costume. Maybe she's just wearing that in between takes. And
possible.
She
it does seem of a piece, even though the patterns are all bananas. Right?
Yeah.
Amis in chat is saying that this really does look like casual clothes to her, that she's seen outfits like this many times in kind of hippie stores. So yeah, maybe they just, these are her, this is what she's wearing in between, you know, before she's getting ready to shoot or whatever. This is how she rolled onto set.
This is tough.
Yeah, I don't know.
I could see Kira wearing something like this, which 100%, but I need to believe it's part of the show just because otherwise then I feel like we're wasting our time.
We probably are wasting our time. We're dissecting actors off set clothes.
I do think she's on a set though. I do think that
No, she definitely is.
Yeah.
I agree with that too. And then when Jen, you first pointed out the hair, I was like, oh, did she dye her hair? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, is she incognito?
But they do dye their hair when they go to the circus, right?
Yeah. She dyes it black, yeah.
Yeah, she dyes it black.
So maybe she dyes it like super blonde.
That's another circus clue because that's when she dyes it black, you said, Tom, right?
Like, is this her hair right now? Is this what her, I don't think she's posted anything on Instagram, but
I don't think it's a wig. But you're right, her hair does look very blonde. And again, I don't know if it's just the sunlight and the way the light's hitting it, but
the sun's definitely shining on her, but it's like super blonde.
The sun always shines on her, Jen.
It does. I mean, when's the last picture she posted? This is 27 weeks ago. That's not helping me.
A light blinded fool.
This is probably, I mean, that's a long time ago, but this was filmed some time ago.
Light blinded fool is saying maybe she's in Telemann Riyadh and that's what she chose to wear.
True.
That's our answer. It's always the answer. It's always the safe bet.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to get more information for this one.
We'll agree to disagree, I guess.
We will.
I don't know. I don't even know if I agree with myself, so I guess maybe I was talking to myself.
Okay.
But great to see you, Kira. The other sets were, so remember the last video that we got, it was them talking or hyping up, right? It was when they finished filming, right? It was this, the rap filming. They did that short video. It looked like Daniel Henney and Marcus and Zoe were on the same sets as that other video. So there really wasn't, I don't think there's really much to talk about there.
Yeah, I agree. I know people were calling attention to the background of Marcus, but I think that it was just kind of like, that's where they were. This is similar. We were talking about this before we went live. It was similar to last year's Jordan Con, where they first announced like Bane and Chiad, and you saw them and Avienda in costume for the first time. And they were on a set, and we were trying to figure out what that set was. And that set was the testing chamber, and they were never in it. Like, they were just in it because that was the set that they filmed these messages on. Right.
And we even joked around that, remember Marcus was in South Africa for a short bit. We said, we joked around that he went there to film that video. That's why he went there.
So which, you got to come in and you just got to say, we've wrapped the set and, have fun at Jordan Con and, you know.
They just got to say
whatever,
a whole bunch
whatever
of things.
Other things that we need you to do.
Yeah. It seems very likely that that could have been the case.
Wasn't his beard shaved, though, when he was there?
Was it?
Yes, we had a whole thing about whether it was a fake beard or not. The last time we saw that.
That's right. Tom thought it was a fake beard.
I didn't think it was. I said
just put the beard on.
It could have been.
I said,
his hair is insane. Also, it's getting bigger and bigger every.
I think he's like wolfing out more. That's why he's getting hair growing out.
I'm wolfing out, baby.
Think about how short his hair was in season one, and now look at it.
Yeah. It's the wolf in him.
He just doesn't have time for a haircut, that's all.
Nah, he's too busy.
He's busy.
There was one other thing I wanted to talk about. And of course, if there's anything anyone else wants to talk about. So as I said before, they were live streaming some of the panels at JordanCon, and there was the season two adaptation panel, which had a great lineup. So it was James Stark, who's the track director for the Wheel of Time track at JordanCon, and all around good guy. And then it was Michael Livingston, Allie from Wheel Takes, and Guy Roberts, right? Guy Roberts was there. And it was a really, really good panel. If you haven't seen it, I definitely recommend you go watch it. It was really good. And Guy Roberts talked about Uno's death, which was really, really interesting. He said there was a lot of like conversation around that, like well before they even started filming. And anyone jump in here if I miss anything or say something wrong. He did say that early on, he knew that somebody was going to have to die and he could potentially be one of the people that died. And right, he mentioned like, there could have been Massima potentially at one point. He did talk about Ingtar for a little bit. And then he said, right, Ray finally got back to him. Oh, no, he didn't. He found out from like one of the makeup artists.
Yeah. I mean, the first conversations were with Rafe early on, and Rafe's like, hey man, it's not gonna be you, I just gotta let you know it might be you, but it's not, we don't want it to be you, it doesn't make any sense, blah 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 blah, blah. And then like he's like, but you know it might, right? And then one of the makeup artists was like, or I think it was the costuming person, he said, was just like, oh, sorry about your head,
yeah, your poor head or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he knew it was him, that he was the one who was gonna die. But he was talking about how he was pitching Rafe before that to try to convince him not for it not to be Uno.
So first, before I slip that, he revealed, at least to me, at least.
Revealed to you, Tom?
Other of you, you may have known this already. It did not. I think this was new information for me. He had read the books multiple times before the series was even announced, right? He was a fan of the books. And he had a very in-depth argument to give to Rafe that he thought was very well put together about why Uno needed to stay. And one of the things that he said was that Uno, which I didn't even remember this, Uno is the first sane, regular person to swear to Rand. And that the whole book, right, Rand thinks that Uno doesn't like him. He's always looking at him dirty. And Rand's like, and then he's the one who swears to Rand first. And like, from when Guy read the book, like the impact of that is like, wow, if this could happen, like really all bonds could be broken. Anyone can do that. And like, that was, I think, one of the crux points of that is that this needs to stay in there. It's so important to the structure of the series. So that was the main argument, I think.
And he had also said something like, when he got the part, he's like, oh, if I don't screw this up, I have a job for a really long time now. Yeah. And then, like, what was the other thing he said, too? Like, he said that during one of the takes, or there was a scene where, like, when they were pulling him away, he looked at Perrin and he said, fight.
That was supposed to
stay with Perrin.
Yeah, it was supposed to be an important moment. Like, don't follow the way of Leaf. You need to fight.
And then when he talked about becoming hero of the horn, he said, like, okay, you know, when Rafe told him, all right, but bring me back as a hero of the horn. And Rafe was like, that's a good idea. We're not going to do that, but that's a really good idea. Right. And then they ended up doing it.
And to the point where, like, when he was filming the early parts of the season, like when he was filming all of his Uno stuff in episodes, you know, 1 through 3 or whatever, like, he was not coming back. Like, that wasn't part of it. And he was like, I'm going to play it like it is. Like, I'm going to carry that with me, even if it's not really going to happen. Yeah. I'm playing the part. And what I thought he said was interesting is that he was playing the part like he somehow knew that. Like, that he was a hero of the horn. That was inside of him somehow. And that the Uno of the books, like, believing in Rand and buying into Rand and expecting Rand to be this person, like, he was preparing in case Perrin had to fill the role of the dragon. Like, he was trying to prepare Perrin to, like, get to that. And, like, that's how he was playing the part. And I find that, like, tremendously fascinating. And I do think that some of that kind of plays out and picks up, right?
Yeah. He did, I don't know if you picked up on this, but he talked also, like, Uno's gonna reappear in the story. And I don't know if he was saying that because of, you know, spoiler alert, you know, the end of the books, like, he assumes that they're going to do, you know, the heroes are going to come back for the last battle. Like, he's just under that impression, or Rafe, you know, maybe Rafe told him the heroes will be back and he'll be back. But he definitely spoke like he was going to be in the show again at some point.
Yeah, he even said, right, so, again, to give the whole story, in case you hadn't watched it or whatever, and go watch the panel. He tells it better because it really happened to him.
Yeah.
But, he says, like, he filmed the whole thing. It was done. He was home. Principal photography, like, wrapped, basically. And he got, like, a WhatsApp message from Rafe saying, can I call you? He's like, yeah. And Rafe's like, yeah, we're going to need you to come back. And so, like, that all happened afterwards, to the point where earlier on, he's like, he didn't understand why Uno was carrying a shield all the time. Like, he didn't think that fit. And then when it wrapped up at the end and he gives that shield to Perrin, like, for Perrin to fulfill his role as protector, he did think it had a really nice resonance. And then he said, and when he gives Perrin the shield, he pulls out the two swords, which is an Easter egg that will pay off. Like, he says it basically like that. Like, not only will I be in the last battle, but, like, you're going to see that I am Gaidel Kane, right? And I think or Gaidel Kane, however you want to pronounce that. But, I think that that's well implied.
Yeah. He did drop a mention of the Ingtar deleted scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which we think we... Did we assume that that was something that existed, or did somebody actually confirm?
They said they filmed it. I think they said they filmed it and it got cut.
Rafe maybe mentioned it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was mentioned again, too, which means... I don't know if that's like, hey, this will be released at some point. I hope it is. I'd be interested to see it. I mean, we got deleted scenes at WattCon 2 years ago, so maybe we'll get some deleted scenes at this WattCon. That would be pretty cool. Yeah, I thought that was so cool how basically Guy pitched him the hero of the horn bit. And he, I love that part, like you said, Tom, when he told Rafe that, and Rafe said, that's a great idea, but we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
And then he wound up, you know, coming around on that, so.
Did he mention if it was like, he never said if the shield was like a magic shield or anything, though, right?
No.
I know he said he gave him the shield because that's the shield that he uses to, like, protect everybody. But I don't think he said, like, anything specific about the shield.
No, I think because he mentioned that, I think, in more along the lines of, like, they were talking about, again, like, our parents still, at this point, like, battling where he falls along, like, the path of violence versus nonviolence. Mm-hmm. And here's another example of him, of somebody who embraces violence when it's necessary, right? And that you can do that not to be violent, but to protect others. Like, that can be a role that you can have, you know?
Yeah. He did say, right up front early on, about how everybody working on the show is a big fan of the books. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we've heard that before, and, you know, there appears to be a lot of people working on the show who are fans of the books, because obviously they were talking about, you know, being an adaptation. That was the whole theme of the panel, you know, adapting it from book to screen. So there was a lot of talk about some of the changes they made and why they could potentially have made those changes. And, you know, so he did talk about how, like, anything that they're doing and whatever they're putting out there and, you know, the finished product, there's a lot of talk about when they're making decisions about changing things from the books or cutting things from the books. And they're really considerate about that. And, you know, every decision is made with the intention of, like, fulfilling the potential of the show, like the series, right? Not the series itself as, like, a, you know, they're looking really far down the road to the end. And seems like they've already kind of plotted, which I think Rafe said he did have it outlined. But it seems like there's even more, like, the details are getting more and more fleshed out as it goes on, obviously. But I feel like it's, they're not all self-serving changes. We might not agree with all the changes regardless. You know, they're making choices. We might not agree with some of their choices.
And I appreciated Ali's perspective on this, too, because you mentioned, like, some of those things are not necessarily, like, hey, we have to do this because it costs X dollars to do the other thing, or hey, we have to do this because of whatever. Sometimes there's an executive who holds the purse strings who says no, or says yes, you must, and then you must. And, like, and guy made reference to kind of, like, he's 100% team Rafe because of what Rafe has to deal with, all of that and all of the creative stuff, right? And marry the two. And, like, that's a very thankless job. So I think it is interesting. It's not like, I picked up on the same thing you did, Joe, about the fact that, like, there is a very clear intent in everything that they do, that this is going to be a full story, and this is how we're going to get to that point. So, like, you never know until you know, but the expectation still is, as they're producing things, that they're going to continue to produce it, right?
Yeah.
Which is nice and encouraging.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe we don't like some of the things that they're doing. Like Tom said, some of those, I think Rafe said a while back, like after the first season, like he got literally like 1,000 notes from the executives.
Yeah.
And he wasn't like exaggerating about that. He was saying it was literally so many notes. So you have to deal with that. And you have to, I guess, pick your battles. Maybe some battles, you know, he won and some battles he lost. We didn't get Bear Brothers, so.
Yes.
Although, that might have been such a wacky change that I wouldn't have minded so much. There was another funny story he told about when he got the part. He was going through all the books and he made notes of all of the Uno scenes. And he had it like on his, his iPhone or whatever. And then it was like before they were going to start filming or something like that. His son.
No, it was during season one. During season one, he literally read it every day before they filmed. And then before season two,
his son got a hold of his phone and deleted it.
Oh my gosh.
Right. And so he just lost it. But he said that was good because it was freeing and it allowed him to move within the adaptation of things more. So that was prior to him knowing that he was going to die.
Yes.
But then it kind of allowed it. Right. And he also said every day before he filmed, he listened to War Pigs.
Yes.
Which I think is freaking awesome.
Yeah, to get into,
and then he posted
character. Yeah.
He posted a video of his first day at JordanCon, and it was to War Pigs, and I was like, oh, this is fucking cool.
Yeah. Oh man, I can't wait to meet him and hang out. that was a really cool panel. I really enjoyed watching it. I'll put the link to it in the show notes to go check that one out. There was talk of some sort of secret panel that was supposed to happen today, but it seems like that was more speculation, and there was no panel, so there wasn't other.
There's a car outside with tinted windows.
They were all here,
but then it left.
Yeah, so there was no like big release though. We had talked about this the last couple of weeks that we thought we might get something, some castings potentially, but we got nothing. So
we didn't get nothing.
Well, yeah, no, I'm sorry.
There was a thing that dropped there that then got released to the public.
Yes. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I almost forgot about the final piece because I did not write this down because it was something that came in
too
late.
Too close to recording.
Definitely. Yeah. Go ahead, Tom. Tell everyone about that piece.
Okay, I thought Jen wanted to, but I'll do it.
Oh, Jen, you want to do it?
You can. No, it's fine. You can.
Oh, Tom brought it up, so I... No, I want Jen to tell it now.
Okay, fine. The Wheel of Time...
I will, Joe!
...released a video of Rosamund reading an excerpt from The Great Hunt, which just happens to be part of the Flicker Flicker scene, and interspersed over her words are scenes from the show. I actually thought it was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when he was saying, I'm a shepherd, I'm a king, I ran from the power, I embraced it. Like, it just showed, like, all different scenes from the show. And that was pretty much it. It was about a minute and 20 seconds long, which is really long for us. We could spend a lot of time on that.
Yeah.
But
it's all old footage, except for...
Yeah.
I feel like there was a shot of somebody... I'm trying to go back. There it is. There's a shot of somebody with like all a blistery chest.
That's from Nynaeve's second accepted test.
Yeah. Oh, that's Tam.
Yeah. It's not all Rand because most of it was Rand, and then it's like sickness and
old,
age.
I was old, Aludrin. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So
no, I thought it was. Yeah, it was really well edited to take footage from the first two seasons of the show and fit them to this segment, and. It once again showed how unbelievably good Rosamund is at what she does because it's like a minute and a half of her narration. And like before the minute and a half is over, you're like this, you're like all in it because there's such a momentum to how she does that flicker flicker scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was a cool.
Okay, that's Tam.
Yes, it's Tam.
Yeah.
That was the one shot in there that I saw that I was like, wait, what's that? And I was like, ooh, did they stick a season 3 scene in that, like shot real quick in there? Because that would have been really cool if they just snuck something in there. It makes me almost want to export this and print it out frame by frame to see if they snuck anything in there. But
I didn't notice anything. It's literally lined up with the words, so I feel like everything matched, and I recognized everything. I thought I did. So.
Yeah, I did too. It was just that one shot. So now we know nothing new.
I think that. It's a good bookend to how we opened up the stuff that they did at JordanCon, where they don't have to do any of this stuff. And they did something like this is just for fans of the books. This isn't for anybody who just likes the show because they don't know what the hell they're talking about. Right?
They did give this to the JordanCon people first, right?
Yeah. And okay. I think if I had time to have thought about the first video, I've been like, man, it's weird that Rosman's not saying hello to everybody. Like, she normally does that piece too, but she did something else for you. And
she's
I think that's really
New York watching the Knicks.
In Dior.
They didn't film that like today. So
sitting in her masterpiece theater chair.
Last week.
Yes.
And it's really cool to show it to show people like, hey, we understand what the books are and we are enthusiastic about those as well. Because that's really what it is.
You didn't think we did Flicker Flicker. But we did it.
We just
and here it
did
is.
It.
You didn't even realize we did it.
Just now.
Here it is.
And they gave us one of the actors at JordanCon, so I guess you could say.
Right, they allowed him to be there.
Yeah, I think he made reference to they let him loose or something like that. So that's pretty cool, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's
I was saying
awesome.
Before we filmed that just everything he said, even though it wasn't a big deal, what he was saying... just felt like a lot because we get really nothing from the actors. Like we get, you know, interview answers and stuff like that. But like he was talking about it like we talk about it and like saying things that like we've spoken about so much, like the recasting of, you know, Ingtar and just stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
And it wasn't anything like, you know, surprising, but it was just like, oh, okay. Like these things really happened and now we're allowed to talk about them.
Yeah.
You know.
He did talk a little bit about recasting Matt, too, I think, right? He did touch on that.
Oh, did he? I didn't watch the whole thing.
Very little bit. Okay. He was talking about Donald in that scene at the end when the hunters come back and he returns. He talked about Donald in that scene and how amazing he is to work with.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really cool. I want to see if there's any other panels that were live streamed with Guy Roberts and check those out. Didn't get a chance to see everything today, but looks like they're all having a great time over there. And I'm glad.
You sound glad, Joe.
I'm not a little upset that I'm not there, but...
Yeah, that's a bummer, but I'm glad that it looks like it's a really good con. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every time I'm sorry, Jen.
I interrupted you. Finish. Go ahead, you froze for a second. Go ahead, finish.
Okay, well, it was a good time. I was telling you to go, and then I froze. So,
yes.
Yeah, no, I think every time that we go, we talk about what a great vibe it is there and how awesome everybody is, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm glad that that's continuing.
Yeah. It was all kinds of... Oh, go ahead, Jen.
I was just going to say that they added Wheel of Time names to all the food items on the menu.
Oh, at the restaurant downstairs.
It's so awesome.
I was looking at it, though, and I'm like, it's the same food as
it's the same food. They just put...
It's the same menu. They just put Wheel of Time there. But that's so cool. They, like, printed up menus for the con. Like, that's fun.
That is cool. Yeah, I wonder if they saw the menu, like, the con saw the menu. Like, I was asked, can we see the menu? Yeah, oh, it's the same thing. Can we do something different?
Yeah.
Like, well, we're not changing our menu. Well, what about the names of the things on the menu? Can we do that?
Moraine's mozzarella or something like that. It's like, I love this. This is great. They probably got the list back and they were like, all right. These freaking people. Okay.
Yeah.
Now they love us.
Good times, everybody. Good times over there. There's all kinds of live streams going on from different... The Stew Wheel was live earlier today, and I think they were going to... Or yesterday, and then I think they were going to do something else. Threefold Talk, I think, had Guy Roberts on there as well.
They played that water game.
Yes. I know there was a lot of other stuff going on, so... Yeah. Listen to all the podcasts that are... Of all the podcasters who are there, it'll feel like you're there. You'll have your own JordanCon. Living vicariously through others. Is there anything else you guys wanted to talk about? Anything you want to get off your chests before we wrap it up over here? See any good movies lately?
No.
No. Dan's watching the Netflix show Chicken Nugget. Have you guys heard about this show?
No.
Like an Asian, I guess it's a comedy, but a girl turns into a chicken nugget and they have to change her back. It's very, very weird. But if you're into strange comedy, it's called Chicken Nugget, and it's subtitled.
I watched the latest episode of Bluey. I put this on Twitter earlier this week.
Oh, the really
sign.
Yeah.
And like just grown up tears in the house the whole time. Like halfway through, it's an extended episode, so it's like 28 minutes long. And halfway through, I'm just like, this is not in any way for children. Like this. It's funny, and there's jokes, and my kids loved it too, whatever. But, like, I'm like, this is just like an adult drama almost that has like funny jokes. It was very, very good. I love that show. It's like one of the best shows, but like, very, very difficult. And then, like, people were like, because it plays like a finale, but there's another episode coming out because it was already announced. That's only the 49th episode of a 50 episode season, so.
Go check it out. 50
episode season. I wish Wheel of Time would get a 50 episode season.
Well, the episodes are usually like 12 minutes long. So
that's fine. Yeah, all right. Two chapter episodes.
How does that work out time-wise as 8 hours?
That's my point. Like, I think that...
No, 50, 50 divided by 4 is that's what, 12, 11, 12?
12 and a quarter?
12 and a half is, yeah.
12 and a half, yeah, 12 and a half.
So that's 12. That's like 12 and a half episodes. So that's more than what we're getting now. Should we have Wheel of Time in Bluey format? Just like 15-minute episodes? 50 15-minute episodes?
Tom, do you want to do a Bluey Wheel of Time crossover as a Patreon episode?
Sure. Yes, I do.
Me and Joe will not understand anything you're saying, but...
I've seen Bluey.
I have to tell you that Bluey
I've seen it, but I don't know the characters.
It's 100% like... Grown-up onlys can watch it, and it's funny and good. It'll just make you kind of feel like you're probably not doing enough as a parent. Sometimes.
Yeah, it definitely makes you feel like you're not a good parent.
But I think it also makes me like it inspires me to do more. Like it does. It's like, oh, I can like.
Did you know that that Bandit and what's the mom's Chili? Name? Chili. Bandit and Chili are based off of Chris and Daniel Henney. Did you know that?
Yeah, the best parents ever. Yeah. I was it's a little known fact.
Bluey is based off of Daniel Henney. Although Bluey's a girl, I think. I know Bluey's a girl.
Yeah, they're
but yeah, they had to change some things.
They have to, when you adapt things, you have to change them. Sometimes you make changes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Daniel Honey loves dogs. They're all dogs on Bluey. The pieces are there.
He got to pick what kind of dogs they were.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what are we talking about?
Yeah. I don't know.
We spiraled.
We spiraled out of control. Let's wrap it up here. I want to remind everyone to follow us on social media. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Join us over in Discord to continue the conversation there. We also post our episodes on YouTube, so be sure to like and subscribe our YouTube page, rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts, and check out our merchandise and Patreon page to support us that way. Links to all the aforementioned information are included in the show notes to this episode. Tom and Jen, any final word?
No.
Thanks everyone for listening, and you'll hear us next time.